Well, we are in our last Sunday of Lifesavers. We have been going through and looking in God's Word at what part do we play as followers of Jesus in saving lives. And we're not talking about lifeguards that are on a beach that if someone's drowning that we go out and physically take them, physically put our arms around them and swim them to shore. We're talking about something that is it's much deeper, that lasts a whole lot longer than physical death. We're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about being separated from God for an eternity. And that's the plight that we all face, that all humanity faces, apart from faith in Jesus. And we've been looking at, as lifesavers, we can't save a life. We can't change a heart. We can't forgive someone's sin. There's only one that can do that, and his name is God. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can change a heart. Only God could have given his son, and he's done it, and he offers it freely. We looked at that. We looked at as lifesavers, if we remember that God is the one that saves people, if God is the one that changes a life, that changes a heart, if God is the one that has changed us, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, if he's changed us, then we can live without fear. We can live without being afraid of the people or the circumstances or the things around us. We can live without fear. We've talked about as lifesavers that we need to look for relationship and opportunity. That in joining God to save lives and being part of him changing lives, he wants to use us. He wants to use us in doing that. And so we need to look for relationship with people, and particularly relationship with people that haven't professed Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And in that relationship, we need to be asking God, God, would you show me opportunities that I can be light to this family, opportunities that I could be salt to these people around me, opportunities to join you in your work, relationship and opportunity. Last week, we looked at being, as lifesavers, we follow. As lifesavers, wherever God tells us to go, we go with him there. And we heard from Bill Edler, brother to Carl Edler, last week. Bill and his wife are getting ready to move to Haiti, because that is where God has shown them, that's where I want you to serve, this is where I am taking you, so you need to follow me. And they're following. And we talked last week about how maybe it's across an ocean to a place like Haiti, or maybe it's across the street to a neighbor. Maybe it's across the hallway in an office. But wherever God leads us, we must follow as lifesavers. If we're going to be lifesavers, wherever he takes us, we must follow. This week, we're talking about being hospitable. And this is our last week talking about lifesavers. Now, we're going to keep, as a church, a Southwinds church, it's very important to us as followers of Jesus that we are out there all the time, that this is a place that we come on a Sunday, that we receive encouragement, that maybe we receive a bit of instruction, that we can sing praises to God with each other. But then we're sent out. We're sent out into the world. We're sent out into a world that is full of people that need to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We're sent out. So although this is the last Sunday that we're going to be in this series called Lifesavers, every single week we need to remember, every single day we need to remember that God wants to use us as life-saving and life-changing agents. He's the one that does it, but he wants to use us in the midst of it. If you have your Bible and you can turn to Matthew chapter 10, we're going to be in a few different verses here in Matthew chapter 10. Give you a chance to get there. But before we get into the passage, I just want to say, when we talk about being hospitable or we talk about hospitality, first of all, you may wonder, what in the world does that have to do with being a lifesaver? It has a lot to do with being a lifesaver. And we're going to see in the passages that we're going to look at today. But there's also maybe different reactions. Like the first Sunday when we talked about lifesavers and we handed out everyone out a lifesaver's mint, right? And we talked about different reactions that lifesaver meant, and some people may think, well, man, that's kind of insulting. Some people may think, man, that's awesome. I've been waiting all day for somebody to give me a mint. I forgot mine at home. When you hear the word hospitable or hear the term hospitality, it may bring different thoughts to your mind, because each of us see it a little bit differently. It may be completely different. If you're a husband and wife that's here today, it may be viewed completely different between between the husband and the wife in the same home. Let me share with you a couple of examples. There was a woman over in England that was, she's part of the upper crust of society, if you want to say. So she was interviewing a servant, okay? Anybody here ever interviewed a servant? Me neither. Never interviewed a servant to serve in my household, okay? But she was interviewing a servant, and she said, "Now, are you able to wait on people? Are you able to serve people?" And she said, "Yes, ma'am, both ways." And the lady conducting the interview says, "Now, wait a minute, what do you mean both ways?" She said, "Well, I'm able to serve people where they will want to come back, or I'm able to serve people in such a way that they will want to stay away. It's my job as a servant. You tell me which way you want me to serve." You see, we can serve people. We can be hospitable in such a way that people want to come back and people want to, now they may choose not to, but we can do everything within our power to want to serve people and be hospitable to people in such a way that they want to spend time with us. Maybe they want to be in our home. Or we can certainly be hospitable in such a way that maybe we invite people into our home, or we open up our lives and we make it look like we're opening up our life. We make it look like we're opening up our home, but in reality, we want to do anything that we can with those subtle little touches to say, "I really would like it if you never came back here, because this is my space, and I like my space, and I want it to be my space." Okay? Another example. There was a woman who, and I didn't choose these examples because they're ladies, okay? But there was a lady who was, she invited a whole bunch of people over for dinner, and she had, all the meal was cooked, and the table was set, and the forks were in the right place, and the knives were in the right place, the napkins were folded into little swans, and it was beautiful, and she was ready for this little party. And so everyone got there, and they sat around the dinner table, and everything looked so prim and proper and nice, and everyone was having a great time. And she turned to her six-year-old daughter before they began to eat, and she said, "Will you pray for us tonight?" And her little girl said, "Well, yes, Mom, but I don't know what to pray for." And Mom looks at her with just that Mom smile, right, and says, "Don't worry about it, sweetheart. You just say what you've heard Mommy say." No, right? Careful. You say what you hear Mommy say. And so they all bowed their head, and the little girl bowed her head, and she said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" When you hear about being hospitable, when you hear about hospitality, it may bring different things to mind for you. You may thrive with hospitality. That may be a gift that God has given you, is just to open up your life and open up your home to people. To others, it may be a real stretch for you to say, "Okay, we've got people coming over to our home. I'm going to open my home. I've got people coming over for coffee. I've got to get geared up for this thing." It may energize you. It may suck the life and energy right out of you. And as soon as those people go, you may wilt on the couch. I don't know. You may be somewhere in between. But as we talk about joining God and being lifesavers, being hospitable is part of joining Him in saving lives. All right? Matthew chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 28 first. Okay? Matthew 10, verse 28. "Don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent? But even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Don't be afraid, therefore. You are worth more than many sparrows." Okay, we haven't gotten the hospitable part yet. But Jesus has sent out his 12 disciples. He's been giving them this charge. He's sent them out and say, "You need to go out into all the world. You need to go out and you need to seek those people that need the good news of me, that need the good news. You need to go out and you need to give it to them." And he gave them some specific instructions to do that. But Jesus also is preparing them, because they're going to face opposition. Because Jesus knew, if I face opposition, my followers will face opposition. They're not better than me. They will face opposition. And so Jesus says, you need to realize that people are out there are going to be out to get you. But he said, you need to fear the right person. Remember, we talked about as lifesavers, we need to live life without fear, of the people, circumstances, and things around us, but be in a healthy fear of God. Healthy fear of the one who has saved us, who has given us security. who has been the one to say, your sins are forgiven, you will spend an eternity with me, now you need to serve me all of your days? He says, sparrows, when he talks about sparrows, he's talking about things that were sold in the market. And they were cheap. And they were so cheap, in fact, that sometimes when they were sold, the people that were selling the sparrows would say, here, have an extra one. You paid for one, take two, right? They're a penny a piece. They were cheap. They were not worth anything at all. And yet the significance of that is that Jesus says, you know how cheap sparrows are. You know sometimes they're just given away. If God knows every sparrow whose heart stops to beat and who ceases to draw breath and falls to the ground, if God knows and not only knows but is there, how much more does he care for you? If God knows, and it says that all the hairs in your head are counted, that's not just that God knows the total number of hairs in your head when you're born or the total number of hairs on your head that you may have throughout your life. The rendering here, best I can understand is, the rendering here, every hair on your head is numbered. It's numbered. So when we brush our hair, when we wash our hair, and there's a couple of hairs that fall out, God's like, there goes number 48 and 842. They're numbered. God knows you. He cares for you. We're getting to the hospitable part. Fear the Lord and not men. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Jesus is sending out his 12. He's saying, you need to go out and bear witness of me. You need to go out and tell people. You need to heal the sick. You need to perform miracles in my name. You need to cast out demons. He says, it's going to be hard. You're going to face opposition. But I'm telling you, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. And I am the only way to the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. I'll say I never knew you, because I didn't. He claims his own. All right, Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Here's where we get to the part about hospitable, being hospitable. Matthew 10, starting in verse 40. The one who welcomes you welcomes me, and the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person because he's righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward. Being hospitable. There's two facets to hospitality, two facets to being hospitable. I want to read you a real quick quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian. He was actually, he gave his life in the time of World War II. And if you don't know the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I won't go into the story, but he gave his life trying to do exactly what God called him to do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this in his book called The Cost of Discipleship. The bearers of Jesus' word receive a final word of promise for their work. They are now Christ's fellow workers and will be like him in all things. Thus, they are to meet those to whom they are sent as if they were Christ himself. Okay? Pick up on that. They are to meet those to whom they are sent as if they are Christ himself. There's two sides to that. One, as followers of Jesus, when we meet someone, we are his ambassador. We represent Jesus. Number two, the other side of that, whoever you meet, treat them as if you're meeting Jesus himself. We'll get back to there. When they are welcomed into a house, Christ enters with them. They are bearers of his presence. They bring with them the most precious gift in the world, the gift of Jesus Christ. That when you walk into a home, when you walk up to someone on the street, maybe your neighbor is watering their yard, and you go up and strike up a conversation. If you're here this morning, you're a follower of Jesus, you walk up to them as Christ himself. You walk up to them as an ambassador of his, as his representative. Matthew 10:40. The one who welcomes you welcomes me, And the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. You see, Jesus has been talking about, in the first part of Matthew 10, and we've been talking about for the last few weeks and being lifesavers, what God expects of us, what part we need to play in God saving lives, and the things that it may cost us, and the things that it's going to require of us. This morning in these verses, we take a look at God sees all of those things. He sees them all. He requires them all, but he sees them all. And there will be an eternal reward for those things. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't think that Matthew was inspired to write these particular verses so that we could say, okay, as long as I get something out of it, I'll do it. As long as I know there's a reward, I'm in. No, no. God's trying to tell us there will be a lot required of you. There is a lot required of you. If you say that you're a follower of mine, I require much. I require your life. But in return, you will reap my reward. You will reap my reward. I can shower it upon you. Now, in this life, you may not feel much of it. Now, we live in a place that we have plenty. As of right now, things can change in a moment. We have plenty. I'm telling you, there are billions of people all around the world who may not take this maybe quite as lightly as sometimes we do. Maybe you don't, but sometimes I take it too lightly, that God is going to shower us with his blessings. There will be a reward for the way that I follow him. There will be a reward for being his ambassador, for accepting people like they're his ambassadors. He says, look, the one who welcomes you welcomes me, and the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. He says, if someone welcomes you into their home, or if someone welcomes you into a relationship, and he goes a little deeper to say, if someone welcomes the message that you bring, man, then there's a blessing there, because if they welcome you, then they welcome me because you bear my name and my message. This is Jesus talking. Jesus says, if they welcome me, then they welcome my Father, because my Father's the one who sent me. Those that show hospitality, those that welcome you and your message, which is really Jesus and his message, says they will receive a reward. We are to realize that we are taking, everywhere we go, we take the good news of Jesus. And it should impact the relationships we have. It should impact the conversations we have in a home. Now, not every conversation that we have may go straight to Jesus, okay? But every relationship we have, we should be looking for, like we looked at 2 weeks ago, we should be looking for in that relationship, God, where are the opportunities? Because I want to be representative of you in my speech. I want to be representative of you in my actions. That we get to be part, we get to be life-saving agents that work with the one true living God. It says, anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who welcomes a righteous person because he's righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward. Southwinds, we are ambassadors of Christ. As we talk about being hospitable, as we talk about hospitality, we need to remember that as ambassadors of Christ, that anywhere we go, that we take his name. So anyone that welcomes us into their house, anyone who welcomes us into a conversation, into any type of relationship, out to a cup of coffee, we need to remember, Jesus, I'm going in representing you. Flip side. Anytime I welcome someone into my home, if you're here as part of Southwinds and you've been able to open up, now I know not everybody can, and that's okay, but if you've been able to open up your home to some of our team members that are here week after week, that as you show them hospitality, as you say, you know what, I work hard and I work long hours, and I'm not able to be there at t-ball camp or maybe at basketball camp or even some of the barbecues because I get off late. You've opened up your home. You've offered a cup of cold water to a disciple of Jesus. You've offered a cup of cold water. So many times I think if we look at this passage, our focus is on the cup of cold water. And the cup of cold water is important, okay? But what's the most important about this is that it's all about being a follower of Jesus. It's all about understanding our role in being hospitable. Our role in getting to join God in saving lives, being a life-saving agent. Say, God, I want to be used by you. And if being used by you, if that it partly includes. Now, I'm not just talking about mission team members, okay? But just when you tell me to welcome people into my home, that I welcome them into my home, and I treat them as if you're coming into my home yourself. I don't serve them two ways, depending on who they are. Remember the story about the servant who can serve both ways? There is no both ways for me. I can serve them so that they want to come back for more. Now, they may choose to reject the message of Jesus. They may choose to reject the light that is shining within you. You can't do anything about that. But what you can have some control over is the way that you present your master, the way you present your king. And there is reward. There is reward. Anyone that we show hospitality, there is reward. We are ambassadors of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. You are to welcome those that bear the name of Christ. You're to welcome anyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus. And you're to welcome anyone who doesn't bear the name of Jesus yet. When you are welcomed, there is reward for them. So be Christ to them. When someone welcomes you into their home, or when someone opens up their life to you, remember there's a reward and a blessing for them. Be part of that blessing by being Christ to them. Because if you will be Christ to them, God can use you to draw them closer to him. God can use you to draw them to him and be changed for an eternity. Again, only God can do the changing, but you can be used to be part of that. There is a reward. We must remember that we are agents of salvation, that we are agents of life transformation, and that if we're to join God in being lifesavers, that part of that is being hospitable. Part of that is being Christ to the people that we encounter, and the other part of that is receiving people as if we're receiving Jesus himself. Treating them the way that we would hopefully treat our King when he comes to visit. We must remember that we are agents of salvation. We should bring blessing wherever we go. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, Bo, it's hard for me. I don't know if I can have a party at my house every night of the week. That's not hospitality. Hospitality is being willing to open up your home, to open up your life, to open up your heart to those that God brings your way. It doesn't mean you have to have a party or to have people at your house every night, because your kids might just pray the prayer, God, why have I invited all these people to my home? But your part is to open up to those God brings your way, to be hospitable to them, to be Jesus to them, and treat them as if Jesus has come to you. When I say you, I mean we. That goes for me too. That goes for our house too. Let's welcome each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and let's welcome those who may become brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're here today and you say, Bo, I haven't professed yet Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't even fully understand what you mean when you say that. If you're there today and you want to inquire more, or maybe today you say, God, you've been working on me, and I need to know you today, then today that can happen. We want to invite you. I'll be at the back of the room. You're welcome to join me back there. The worship team is about to come and lead us in one last song. And during that song, I would encourage you, if you're here today and God's saying you need to be more hospitable, you need to be more open to opening up your home, opening up your life, then talk to him about that.